You are listening to the Otherworldly Oracle official podcast, a Burning Hallows production. We are your otherworldly hosts, Kitty Fields and
Alora Rain.
If you like what you're hearing, hit that subscribe button for notifications of future weekly episodes. Head over to patreon.com/burninghallows to grab your exclusive Book of Shadows pages to go along with this episode. And speaking of Patreon, we'd like to take a moment to give a big shout out to some of our newest patrons, Cody, Amy, and Anita.
Woo woo!
Now on to the show.
You climb to the top of the hill and notice there are other witches there waiting. The moon is high in the sky and a wolf howls somewhere in the forest. Down below, the town is asleep, unaware of the powerful magic that's about to be conjured. A woman in a flowing black robe stokes a massive bonfire and passes out broomsticks to all the witches present. Then someone passes you a drinking horn and you drink, allowing the sweet honey liquid to quench your thirst and send your mind into a relaxed astral state. Tonight is the Witch's Night, also known as Walpurgis Night, and it's a time of ancient magic. Come with us on a journey to the Brocken, and let's learn all about the history of Walpurgis Night and how to celebrate it today. Hello.
All right. Witch's Night.
Witch's Night. That was a great intro.
Oh, yeah, it was. You did a great job introducing it as well.
Well, you did a great job writing it. Very atmospheric.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. I tried to paint a picture, you know?
Yes, definitely.
A picture with words. So, first of all, we are currently not recording on Walpurgis Night, but we wanted to do this episode a little bit ahead of time to give everyone some time to maybe plan their witch's night out if they want to participate.
Yep, exactly.
So is Walpurgis Night something that you've celebrated before? Or if not, are you interested in it?
I'm definitely interested. I know a little bit of background, but I haven't celebrated it. No.
Gotcha. I don't feel like I fully celebrated it to the extent that I want to. I want to go all out one year. But the other problem is that the next day is May 1st, which is my husband's birthday. So it kind of.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was born on Beltane.
He was, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's so funny because, oh, that's so cool though.
Yeah.
Are you sure he's not like my long lost brother? Because I was born on Mabin and my brother was born on Yule.
Could be. Could be. And I'm a December Friday the 13th baby. So.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anyways.
Yeah. Enough about our awesome birthdays.
Right. So what is Walpurgis Night and what are its pagan origins?
Walpurgis Night, or also Walpurgis Night in English, this is a German holiday that is happening today in modern times, but it definitely originates in ancient times. It's celebrated on the eve of May 1st, or, well, technically April 31st, right, through May 1st. And so this is obviously a day that coincides with the Celtic fire festival, Beltane. What I think is interesting, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so basically what you're saying is it wasn't just one day of debauchery. It was like a couple.
Yeah, definitely. Just like the Sabbats. I mean, I think we've gotten in this kind of mindset in modern times that Samhain is one day or one night and, you know, Beltane is one night. But technically, we have evidence from ancient times that people celebrated Sabbats for a few days, a week, in some cases, like a month, you know?
Yeah, well, I know for me personally, like, I think that I've adopted the week-long celebrations because quite frankly, I can't always celebrate a particular Sabbath when, like, on the day.
Agreed.
Because something's just going on. So, right. And I don't chastise myself or hold myself to a particular standard if I'm not able to celebrate it right at, you know, the astrological alignment.
Agreed.
Blah, blah, blah.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And that too, it depends on where you live, right? Like the,
right.
For me, I know spring equinox hasn't happened technically in the Northern Hemisphere, but where I live, it's already spring. Like I already have felt the first stirrings of that. So I fully get that. And I agree with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So while Purge is not, where did this name come from? This holiday is actually likely named for a woman, a female saint named Saint Walpurgia from medieval times. So apparently though, this woman, although she's a German saint, she was born in England in the 8th century. So I guess we would wonder how an English saint would become popular enough in Germany to have this holiday named for her. According to the church's history, Walpurgia became a missionary to the Frankish Empire, which that's Germany, if y'all don't know, and she became an abbess of a monastery in Bavaria, which is southern Germany, in 751, basically. This has been a holiday, Walpurgis Not, is a holiday that's today we say we commemorate her canonization and also the movement of her relic to a town in Bavaria that supposedly happened on May 1st. Okay. So after she died, her body was basically moved to Bavaria. I don't know. I guess it was about 100 years, a little less than 100 years after her death. So that's what we say, why we celebrate Walpurgis Not. However, there's a lot of speculation as to whether this holiday is much older. Most modern scholars believe it is much older than medieval times. And likely there was a goddess whose name was Walpurgia who preceded the saint.
As you do.
Right.
I feel like this is the same old, same old.
Common theme. Very common. Yeah. I mean, Saint Brigid, right? Or breed, right? Yeah. You have the goddess breed. Yeah. So, oh yeah, I just said that. Okay, we can cut this part out. Sorry. Talking ahead of myself. So remember, you know, it was much easier for the church to reform some of the older gods and make them into saints than to eradicate them entirely. Mm-hmm. This is an example of that, obviously. Okay, so I feel like another goddess that kind of reminds me of Walpurgia in Germanic tradition is Berchta, of whom we've talked about in past episodes. But the funny thing with Berchta is her cult was so prominent even into medieval times that the church outright like outlawed her worship in any form, basically. And when they still couldn't get rid of her, they turned her into this hag that eats children at Christmas time, like we've talked about.
There's no fun to be had. Stop that.
Right. But the idea here is that Walpurgia as a goddess was likely an earth goddess celebrated around Beltane, or what in Germany is called Walpurgis Not. And that's probably the origin of this holiday.
And actually, you can continue. I'm just gonna.
Okay.
I'm looking for a book. Hold, please. Keep okay. going.
So one of the major traditions that originates in ancient times with Walpurgis Not is the bonfire. With the bonfire, obviously we have the magical purpose of warding off evil spirits and witchcraft and devils. It's what they they say, right? That's why they've been burning fires for so long in Germany, supposedly, on this night. However, the interesting part is this was also a mundane thing in years past to ward off or get rid of pests that have collected over the winter. Kind of interesting. So the same thing happened in Ireland on Beltane. They would drive their cattle between two large bonfires in order to purify the cattle. But again, also they were knocking off some of the pests that had collected over the winter on the livestock and even on themselves and in their homes. Purification was a big thing, both at Beltane and in Walpurgisnacht in Germany. In addition to the bonfire, prayers to the Saint Walburga or Walpurga to protect crops and people's health. And again, it arose this tradition of being a holiday that was warding off the witches, which I think this came up during the witch trials time. The witch trials were actually huge in Germany. If people don't realize that, it was, I think, some of the most death occurred in Germany when it comes to the medieval witch trials. So there's a couple places that were known as witches' meeting places, and one specifically in Germany that the witches would gather at. They would sort of, you know, meet at the top of this mountain. And this mountain is called the Brocken. The Brocken is actually the highest mountain peak in the Harz Mountains in Germany. Even Jacob Grimm, who most of you know from, you know, the Grimm's fairy tales.
Yep.
He was a German folklorist first, and he claimed that the people believed Valkyries would even meet on the Brocken.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you know, how we talk about all the time crossover with the different spirits. So there's a big crossover there for you. Valkyries and witches. This might be the link to the belief that Freya was also the leader of the witches on Walpurgisnacht, hailing from the Brocken as well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
I know. It leaves a lot to unravel and think about, I feel like, for this holiday. So an old superstition is to never leave your broom near your chimney on this night, lest a witch steal it and go flying about.
But I promise I ain't popping down nobody's chimney because ain't got time for that.
True. Exactly. I guess maybe it was to guard. Maybe like if people were thinking that there were witches among them, right? If you leave your broom by the chimney, then, you know, Aunt Etta down the hallway might take it up and fly up the chimney and out that night or something, you know, who knows? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so this even goes to the Czech Republic and Slovakia.
Yeah, it's not just a German thing. There's other similar festivals held at that time, which, I mean, I guess you consider it kind of the same festival, but in the Czech Republic, this festival is literally called Burning of the Witches. And is celebrated by burning effigies, or, you know, like large witch dolls, essentially, and large bonfires. So there's some, you know, speculation that this might have once been a bit grimmer in centuries past, which is really sad. But the funny thing is, they don't, in the Czech Republic, they don't associate this festival with the Saint Walpurga, but rather with St. Philip or St. Jacob. Yeah.
Interesting.
And then in Slovakia, we have a tradition of putting the Queen of Winter, known as Morena, to death at this time. So they would have a procession or a parade and walk her effigy to an icy river, light it on fire, and then throw it in. Basically, this is symbolizing the end or the death of winter and the beginning of spring or summer.
That's definitely interesting. And my niece is half Czech. Well, actually, she's a quarter Czech, a quarter Slovak. So I'll have to tell her about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it really interesting. And I wonder, I don't know if that's like in the Czech Republic specifically. I know that they were communists for some years.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of these traditions were not allowed. Right.
Oh, so. Yeah. Like it was when my niece was born, actually, one of the funniest things was my ex-sister-in-law, when she was pregnant with my niece, she was so excited over the fact that she did not have to choose a name off the calendar. She could name her anything she wanted.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I worked with a woman who was a nurse who came here as a teenager, and she was Czech. She was from the Czech Republic, and she came here when they were still communists. So, and I did a report actually for school, and I had to ask about her culture and stuff. And it was really sad because it was like everything that I was asking, she was like, nope, I didn't grow up with that because we weren't allowed to have that, you know? So I do feel blessed in that way that I'm able to exercise my beliefs, right?
Yes, exactly.
All right. But it's seemingly like they're able to do more of this stuff now. But if anyone, if I'm wrong, someone please feel free to email me or message me. Okay. So talking about Walpurgis Night, obviously we know it's the Witches' Night, but we wonder why it's called the Witches' Night other than to just keep witches away. I feel like initially, like we've said, this is kind of centered around more than likely an earth goddess originally. And we know how the goddesses get turned into witches or canonized, one or the other, right?
Right.
So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the goddess or what may have been the goddess Walpurgia. And one of our favorite authors, Judica Ilse, in her Encyclopedia of Witchcraft, she says that this goddess manifests as a beautiful white lady wearing a long gown with flowing locks, a crown, and fiery shoes. She carries
fiery shoes.
I know.
Holy moly.
Which kind of relates to the bonfires when you think about it. She carries a spindle and a three-cornered mirror that tells the future. And then she goes on to say that according to folklore, Walpurgia is chased by the wild hunt for 9 days before Walpurgis Night. And wherever she goes to hide, she leaves gold and treasures for the good folks in her wake. I mean, there's a lot to unravel with that piece of lore as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely some uncanny similarities between her and Bereshta, as well as Holda, and I think even Freya herself with the gold and the wild hunt, obviously.
Yeah, right.
What once was a night to celebrate the driving out of winter and rebirth of the earth, or what we believe, the church turned into a day of basically driving out witchcraft and paganism with, you know, purification rites and prayers.
Gosh.
I know. So there's
but it's
actually
funny though.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, but it's funny though, right? Because now in modern day, there's a resurgence of paganism going back to the old ways, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, it's like a fungus, man. We just keep coming back.
Uh-huh. I know. Interestingly, there is an ancient Germanic seeress whose name was Waljeburg. And there's some speculation whether she might have been the precursor. Instead of a goddess, it might have been this famous seeress from ancient times that inspired the festival. But anyway, so we know that this woman existed. Oh, let me back up. Her name actually translates to magic staff protection, which to me sounds a little bit like a vulva, right? With the staff.
Yep.
So we know this woman existed because of the discovery of an ostracon, which is an inscribed pottery shard that was found in Egypt that mentions her name being that she was in service to a governor in Egypt. It's a really interesting story. It was surmised that Waljeburg was the name from the Semnones tribe, which was a Germanic tribe at the time. And she was likely a seeress who had somehow found herself on Elephantine Island, which is in Egypt, in the 2nd century BC. So there's a couple theories as to how she got down there, but either she went voluntarily or not. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, so there's some speculation. Is she tied to Walpurgis Knot with her being that her name was Waljeburg? It's very close to Walburga, and also that she's from the area or was from the area.
Mm.
It's a fun one to look up if anyone's interested in ancient oracles and vulvas and things, priestesses, what have you.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if she was a slave or not.
Right. Yeah. There's some, you know, there's like, was there like a trade that happened and like they had to come to an agreement and, you know, she went, who knows?
Yeah. Because back in those days, like back in the days of Egyptian culture, Roman culture, et cetera, slavery was not based on race. It was based on socioeconomic class. Right. So
yes,
if you were poor, slave.
Well, and two, who are we conquering and are we going to make a deal with this other tribe and what's a part of that deal? Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how do we celebrate this today?
So I think you can go as small or as large as you want to with this. It really just depends on your resources and just if you have the time, all that, just kind of like with any other Sabbath, right?
Mm.
But I mean, the biggest one is obviously if you can visit Germany at this time to get the real experience. I have been told that it is Walpurgis Night or not is akin to the American Halloween.
So why didn't we adopt that?
I don't know. I don't
know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
I have a close family member that is German and she's from Hesse, Germany. And so she tells me that it's like a party. Essentially, there's a lot of debauchery, you know, people it's a lot for adults though. Like they go out and they drink and then there's a lot of prank playing, which to me reminds me a lot of trick or treating, you know?
Right.
So there's kind of a lot of similarities there. But I mean, if you can't visit Germany, you can always hold your own costume party or a witch's party, which I think that's what I want to do. I want to throw a big costume party, but specifically just witch costumes.
Mm.
And the ones they have over there are very, I want to say grotesque and elaborate, you know? But you could do it any way you want, really. And like I said, making mischief or prank playing, that's a common theme in Germany. I think, obviously, play your pranks responsibly.
Yeah.
But maybe, too, I mean, it's something as small as having a small fire, if you have like a fire pit or a fireplace, burning effigies to represent renewal and resurrection to celebrate spring. You also have purification and protection rituals. That's something that's been happening for probably definitely centuries, maybe thousands of years on Walpurgis Knot as well as on Beltane. So purifying your house, purifying your altar, doing your own ritual bath. I mean, you could basically do anything you want to celebrate this holiday in your own way.
Yeah, I think it would be fun.
I think so too.
It's one of those.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say it sounds like one of those holidays where you, even if you aren't a part of a coven, you can, and you're a solitary practitioner, it would be a good time to engage in like an open circle.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just to get some camaraderie, you know?
Yeah. It seems like a good time. It is literally like the ultimate witches holiday. I feel like we should make it into that.
We should.
Yeah. Okay. In addition, you could cook and eat some traditional German foods. Any German food will work, but there's a couple that are mentioned by Linda Radish in her book, Night of the Witches, which I recommend if anyone wants to learn more, like go deeper into this Walpurgis Knot rabbit hole, definitely read Linda Radish's book. So two of the traditional foods, one is called May, M-A-Y, like the month, wine, or May punch. It is a white wine that is infused with the herb sweet woodruff. I don't know what that tastes like. It sounds good, but I don't know personally.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that herb.
Yeah. And there's also, it's called German green soup, which is a soup that's made out of leeks, herbs, and potatoes.
Hard pass.
I make leek and potato soup in the winter and I love it. So I guess just adding herbs would make it into German green soup.
I'll just leave out the leek.
You don't like onions?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Leeks are basically onions. Yeah. That's funny. And then Allure, do you want to tell us about the traditional herbs?
Yeah. So using traditional herbs such as angelica, flax, juniper, rue, elder, rosemary, all of those lovely herbies.
Yeah.
Herbies. And then also crafting your own besom with traditional herbs being incorporated in the straw of the besom.
I want to do that one. That one seems appropriate.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, you know, I should have said this too. Obviously, any kind of astral projection or journeying would make a lot of sense on this night. So you have the witches flying from the Brocken, flying around the town, making mischief. Probably has something to do with witches from the past, you know, taking soul flight on that night, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Any type of flying ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that is really, really cool. And hopefully some of you guys out there will celebrate it this year.
If we all band together and make this a big thing, we could have the ultimate witches holiday. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Can we wrap it up? Or you got it?
I got it.
Okay.
Once again, thank you all for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and may even be inspired to celebrate while purges not in your own witchy way. Please rate and review our podcast on your app so that we reach more witches worldwide. And remember, whether you're in the land of the Fae or the land of the ancestors, stay otherworldly.